Hare Krishna. Thank you everyone for coming to Chaitanya Charitamrita class. So today we're going to be reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 8, text 70. So we're going to continue with the talks between Ramananda Roy and the Supreme Lord. Okay, we're gonna read from verse 69, and then we've got 70 on the board, so we can repeat that one. So the translation to that verse is, Ramananda Rai continued, as long as there is hunger and thirst within the stomach, varieties of food and drink make one feel happy. Similarly, when the Lord is worshipped with pure love, the various activities performed in the course of that worship awaken transcendental bliss in the heart of the devotee. So then, verse number 70, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price, that is intense greed, to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. Purport. The previous two verses are included in the Padyavali 13-14, an anthology compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami. Verse 69 refers to devotional service in faith, and verse 70 refers to devotional service rendered out of intense greed. The first is devotional service rendered in accordance with the regulative principles, and the second refers to spontaneous loving service of the Lord without extraneous endeavour. Henceforward, the basic principle underlying the talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai will be spontaneous loving service to the Lord. The regulative principles, according to the injunctions of the Shastras, are necessary insofar as one's original dormant Krishna consciousness is not spontaneously awakened. An example of spontaneous action is the flowing of rivers into the ocean. Nothing can stop this flow of water. Similarly, when one's dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened, it spontaneously flows to the lotus feet of Krishna without impediment. Whatever will be spoken henceforth by Ramananda Rai based on spontaneous love will be agreeable by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord will ask him more and more about this subject. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshusum Militam Jena Tasme Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nevaje Susunivadi Pastacha De Sitarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Chivasati Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Panchakappa Trubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitana Pavinibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo, Nama Nama. I'd like to ask permission from all the assembled Vaishnavas that I can speak. It's a really esoteric subject matter, and I can only speak according to my realization. I don't like to say things which are not my realization, which is beyond. So I'm just going to probably not even scratch the surface of this verse. But I'll try. Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that this verse is based on spontaneous or Raghunuga platform, spontaneous service. And the previous verse is according to the Vaidhi Bhakti system. And the translation says that even by performing thousands and thousands of years of pious activity, one cannot cannot attain pure devotional service. But it can only be attained through lolium, or wanting this intense greed for devotional service. And it says if it's available somewhere, we should get it. So the question is, natural question is, where is it available? So hopefully I'll say something to inspire everyone to want to take this lolium. So in a CC in Madhya Lila 2245, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states, and Srila Prabhupada expands in his purport, it says, by good fortune, by very good fortune, one may be able to cross over this material, the ocean of nescience. But it's not that. And when one's material existence is decreased, then he can come in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord. And by the association of the pure devotee, his natural Krishna consciousness reawakens. And then Prabhupada talks about the different pious activities, sukritis. So there are three sukritis. One is karma sukriti, which is performed, or bogan mukhi sukriti. And it's basically performed to enjoy the material world, to get more, to go to Svargaloka, to the heavenly planets. So this kind of sukriti, a lot of people are interested in performing, especially those who know something about Vedic principles and the scriptures. They're very much interested in this because they want to elevate themselves to a higher state of living, a higher existence. Just like the yajnik brahmanas, right? Krishna's pastimes. They were doing yajnas. They were Brahmins. And then Krishna sent the coward boys. But because they were so much intensely desiring material enjoyment within their heart, they couldn't see the pure devotees in front of them. It was clouding their vision. They were just interested in doing this yajna, and getting a higher existence, material enjoyment. And then the next type of sukriti, which is mentioned, is mokshan sukriti, or jnana sukriti. And this is to get impersonal liberation. And this is attained by through the cultivation of knowledge. The jnanis are racking their minds in so many different ways, but their aim is go back to go to the impersonal aspect of the Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada explains that these two sukritis are not very fortunate, and these are the two sukritis that's talked about in this verse, that if you perform thousands and thousands of years of this sukriti, you will not achieve pure devotional service at all. And there's a verse in this, you know, about, is it in Adi Lila 379, where it says, even if one distributes 10 million cows in charity during an eclipse of the sun, lives at the confluence of the Ganges and Yamuna for millions of years, or gives a mountain of gold in sacrifice to the Brahmanas, he does not earn 1/100th a part of the merit derived from chanting Hare Krishna. In other words, one who accepts the chanting of Hare Krishna to be some kind of pious activity is completely misled. Of course, it is pious, but the real fact is, this is Prabhupada speaking in purple, the real fact is that Krishna and his name, being transcendental, are far above all mundane pious activity. Pious activity on the material platform, pious activity on the material platform. By chanting of the holy name of Krishna, it's completely on the spiritual plane. Therefore, although Basandis do not understand this pious activity, this pious activity can never compare to the chanting of the holy name. So the third one is bhakti anmukhi sukriti. So this can be split in two: agyata sukriti or jnana sukriti, unknown devotional service, or known devotional service, or devotional service in knowledge. Of course, devotional service in knowledge is the highest. Yeah. So agyata sukriti is something like, I mean, you know what it is, right? The Harinam party goes out and people hear the holy name and they perform, and they're performing devotional service, because hearing is one of the processes of devotional service. So they're actually performing devotional service. So they're performing jnana sukriti. Or if someone gets a book, or if they touch a book, Prabhupada said, even if they touch a book, that's jnana sukriti. They're making some devotional progress in their spiritual life. Yeah. Or if they do something favorable to a pure devotee, yeah, just like when Prabhupada was in Delhi and he was printing his magazine, the printer wala did a deal with Prabhupada. He gave Prabhupada, he did it for free, so, right? Yeah. So that's devotional service. It's not pure devotional service, but it's still devotional service. And that devotional service, when it builds up to a certain point, then the person becomes eligible to come in contact with a pure devotee. just like in Ajamil's pastime, right? Ajamil was out one day doing his whatever he did to earn a living. And his wife and son were at home on their own. And Agastya Muni was coming through and he knocked on their door. And his wife answered. And he said, "Do you have any, do you have anything to eat, any food?" So she prepared something for him, gave him some food. And then he saw Ajamil's son. And he said, "What's his name?" She said, "He doesn't have a name." So he said, "From now on, you're going to call him Narayan." So the point is, Ajamil performed so much sukriti when he was young. He was worshipping, he was a Brahmin, and he was worshipping Shalagram Shila. But he fell down. But that sukriti he performed wasn't actually cashed in until Agastya Muni came into his life and named his son Narayan. And then from that day on, he was chanting Narayan. You know, Narayan, come here, it's time to eat. Narayan, come here, it's time to go to sleep. Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. So it was by Agastya Muni's mercy that he actually started chanting Narayan. There's an incident when Prabhupada was on a plane. Prabhupada would make Prabhupada prasadam to eat on the plane. And I think this day it was puffed rice with nuts and stuff. I mean, some of you probably heard this story. And Prabhupada would eat a little bit and then he would give the rest of it to his secretary. I think it was Shutakirti. So he ate a little bit, he gave it to Shutakirti. And then the air hostess was coming by and she just spontaneously, for no reason at all, she just reached over and grabbed the puff rice and put it in her mouth. I mean, that's, you know, that's not a very professional thing to do, right? But for some reason she did it. And then she said, "Oh, this is really tasty, what is it?" Yeah, and even the devotees were kind of a bit shocked. Yeah. But anyway, many years later, this was in the 90s, I think it was in the 90s, early, mid-90s, there was a Sankirtan party in South America, distributing books, going door to door. And then they knocked on one door, and this lady answered. And they offered a book. She said, "Oh, I've got all the books by Bhaktivinoda Swami." And she said, "Come in the house." She brought him in the house, and she had the whole Bhagavatam set, CC set, everything. And she had this beautiful altar in her house. Picture of Prabhupada. And then she told him this story, how many years ago she was she was an air hostess on this plane. And how she, you know, she met Prabhupada, was there. And so it was the same woman. So without meeting a pure devotee, it doesn't matter how much, even bhakti anmukhi sakriti one performs, it's not really fructify. It doesn't really come into... It's like the pure devotee is the cashier. He cashes in your tokens for your pious credit, or whatever. I mean, what to speak of. So that's anmukhi. That's bhakti anmukhi sakriti. I mean, what to speak of the rest of it? You know, karman mukhi sakriti, moksha mukhi sakriti. You're not going to get anything out of that. Maybe after millions and millions of doing something, but... So you can see how important it is to come in contact with a pure devotee. I can even say in my own life, we came to Krishna consciousness, we were quite young. I think I was about 7 or 8 or something. And we'd been going to the temple for many years. But I can honestly say my spiritual life didn't take off. And when I was 19, I picked up one of Prabhupada's books. It was the third canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. No, the third one. It was that canto with talks between Narada and King Patsinabai about Puranjan. Fourth canto, yeah. Yeah. I couldn't put it down. But that's where my spiritual life began. When I picked up that book, even though I'd been going to the temple for many, many years, nothing happened until I picked that book up. So we can see how important it is to come in contact with pure devotee. So we're giving people the opportunity every day, giving them Prabhupada's books. And that is very powerful. Shraddha, Prabhupada talks about Shraddha, faith, the previous verse is to do with Shraddha. So one's Shraddha is very important. It's explained that to this Bhakti Anmukhi Sukriti involves two things. It involves Shraddha and the appreciation of pure devotional service. So when Prabhupada says the appreciation of pure devotional service, he's not just talking about on a sentimental level. He's talking about on a conscious, deep level, appreciating pure devotional service when we're engaging in our sadhana bhakti. Right? In other words, that's the goal. We shouldn't think that this sadhana bhakti we're doing, it is going to make me happy. Because at the beginning we come to Krishna consciousness because we're suffering. And that's one of the byproducts of devotional service. It makes you happy. It makes you happy. But that's not the reason why we... If you continue engaging in devotional service on that superficial level of realization... then Krishna consciousness will not really develop deep within our hearts, or this desire, intense desire to want to serve Krishna, because I'm just doing it to make myself feel happy, right? Didn't Prabhupada say once that a lot of his disciples would go to the heavenly planets, right? He said that, yeah? What does that mean? It means that their desire to want to enjoy the material world has stayed within their heart. It hasn't gone. In other words, they never came to the platform of pure devotional service. So when we're practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, we should always focus, why am I doing it? Why? What is it? What's the reason? Is to obtain some attraction to Krishna, some deep attraction. And this attraction we should be performing service in such a way that our mind naturally goes to Krishna, focuses to Krishna. At the moment, it may be an endeavor. We may be endeavoring really hard to you know, we do our 1 hour's reading, right? Everything's timed, isn't it? Vaidhi Bhakti, yeah? Everything's timed, isn't it? Do my 1 hour's reading and get up this time and, you know, alarm clock's your friend, isn't it? And a stopwatch is your friend. Yeah, but as you advance in spiritual life, the mind naturally goes to Krishna. Obviously, when you're focusing on your service, you're focusing on your service, you're thinking about the service. That's the same as thinking about Krishna. But when you're not doing the service, the mind should just be Krishna's leela, Krishna's pastimes. Like the river flows to the ocean. Is the example used in the purport. The river's flowing to the ocean, and there's nothing going to stop it. Can't stop the river from flowing. Because it's natural, spontaneous. It's not artificial, this flow. Right? So this is the point of Vaidhi Bhakti, to come to this point of natural flow to Krishna. But when you're on your own, it's easy to make a show when you're in public, right? But when you're on your own, how are you behaving? What's on your mind? When you're sitting in your room and the door is closed, is your mind going to Krishna, focusing on Krishna somehow? Or is it doing so many things? Yeah? So now your devotional service is coming a little bit more spontaneous. Yeah? But we need to come to that point, because if we don't, then it will just remain dry within our heart. So the previous verse is comparing, like when you're hungry, right, the verse 69 we read. When you're hungry and you eat some food, it's really tasty, right? When you fasted for a whole day and you eat the feast, the first few mouthfuls are like nectar, isn't it? And after a while, it's like nectar, isn't it? So the empty stomach is compared to love for Krishna. Right? So when you have some love for Krishna, a little bit of devotion for Krishna, and then you perform all these activities that we perform during the day, Vaidhi Bhakti, we have the whole morning program, then it becomes really tasty. It becomes blissful. But if you don't have that, love for Krishna, which is the main ingredient, this is why we're here. It's called Bhakti Yoga. Not Hatha Yoga. Although we tell people sometimes, bridge preaching, bring them in a bit. Yeah, we do a bit of yoga. It's really Bhakti Yoga. So if you don't have that, point is the verse is saying, if you don't have that love for Krishna there, then it becomes really difficult. It's like, once someone said, his japa's really bad. I said, is it? What's it like? He said, it's like chewing bricks. We had some funny bhaktas in our days. So, do we want our devotional service to be like chewing bricks? How much time have we got? When's breakfast? Or do we want to develop some spontaneous affection for Krishna? Of course, the greed which is spoken about here is the topmost, is the highest, what the Vrajavasis have in Vrindavan. But of course, there's different degrees. You know, we can still be greedy and have a, you know, develop a more of a spontaneous attraction to Krishna. So the whole point of like following the rules of Vaidya Bhakti is that the mind, it becomes peaceful, right? Because we've got so many things on the mind. The mind's the worst enemy. Right? It can give you hell, or it can be your best friend. And most of the time, if you analyze the stuff that goes on in the mind, they're really not even worth worrying about. It's just the mind is a tricky fellow. Prabhupada said, don't trust the mind. So when we follow these rules and regulations, which are important, very important, it makes the mind peaceful. And then with a peaceful mind, engaging in devotional service is less strenuous. It becomes easier. Like that. So... So this greed is only, where is it available? Anybody know? Where can we get it from? Yes.
In the heart of those who are pure devotees.
There you go. Yeah, that's it, exactly. So she didn't have a microphone, so I repeat. The greed is available in the heart of those devotees who possess the greed. So we need to associate with devotees, ideally pure devotees, who have this greed. And if we associate with those devotees, they pass on that greed to us, from their heart to our heart. Simple. I mean, just the other week, there was a 300 devotee Harinam in London, right? I mean, outside Rafi Yatra, I don't think I've ever seen such a Harinam, right? But why was it? It was because of one person, right? Satchinandan Swami, right? So obviously, he has something. He's got something that everyone's, well, yeah. I'd go on Harinam. I mean, on a regular day, you're lucky to get 20, 30 devotees on a Harinam, right? Like today, if you get 30 devotees on a Harinam, it's good. 300? Never seen my whole life, right? Couldn't even move. It's like this. Forget playing a mridanga. Actually, the jambi players had a whale of a day, didn't, because they can easily play like this, you know? Whereas the mridanga players are struggling. They were getting their own back, finally. So everyone can understand that Satyananda Maharaj has got something. So let me go. But it's not a sentimental thing. Right? We really need to imbibe this mood from these devotees. And it comes... But when you associate with devotees, there's two things. There's just casual association, right? Just being with them. You also make advancement. But the most important thing is service. Serving them. Because when you serve a devotee, then you develop some sort of relationship with them. What's that word I was looking for? Is it? Anyway, you develop some sort of relationship. And if you're serving in a humble mood, right, and then you could inquire in that mood humbly, And then through that relationship, the devotee will give you knowledge. And the thing is, when a spiritual master asks you to do something, you have to do it. There's no ifs and buts about it. Right? It's not a sentimental relationship between you and the spiritual master. He asks you to do something, and you do it, and then your spiritual life will really take off. And you really get this greed. Yeah, so there's a nice pastime I read recently in Srila Sivaram Swami's Navaraja Mahima. So this pastime just shows the similarity between what we're doing now and what's going on in Vrindavan at the moment, or what's going on there. So Krishna and Balaram, when they come back in the evening, they're herding the cows. There's a huge smoke. The dust of Vrindavan's been put up in the air, transcendental dust. And Krishna Balaram compared to two moons within a star of Milky Way. In the Milky Way, all these stars. So the cows and the gopis are like the stars in the Milky Way, and Krishna Balaram like two moons. And then as they get closer to Nandagram, the inhabitants, they've been waiting for Krishna all day. Yeah. So in the spiritual world, every day is a festival. Every day, just like here, every day is a festival, right? At the manor. So every day is a festival. So when Krishna's coming back in the evening with the cows, after being in the forest, herding the cows all day, the residents of Nandagram, they're eager to see Krishna. They're really eager to see him. So they all line up. And Nanda Maharaj and his brothers and Yashoda and Rohini, they go up on top of the roof to see Krishna from a distance. But he said that they're so eager to see Krishna that tears are coming from their eyes and they can't see anything. They want to be the first ones to see Krishna. And then as they come closer, it's like a huge cloud, dust cloud. They're coming closer and closer. And the cowherd boys are playing their, blowing their horns and playing their instruments. And there's a huge, and as they're coming closer, all the residents of Nandagram are saying, "Jai, Jai." And the women are ululating, right? And it said that combined with all the sound of the cows' hooves, and it's tumultuous. And then Krishna and Balaram, they stop at the Varshana and Nandagram junction, because some of the boys, they live in Varshana, so they have to leave. And then they're crying because they have to leave Krishna. Like, there's a lot of crying goes on in the spiritual world. I think I mentioned this in my last class. They're crying because they have to leave Krishna that day. So they go, Sridham and Subal, they go to Varshana, take care to do their duties there, meet their parents. Then Krishna Balaram continue to Nandagram. And then when Mother Yashoda sees them, she runs down the hill and embraces both of them. And then she looks at them, and because they're covered in this dust, Krishna and Balaram, they look beautiful. They look even more beautiful than they usually do, because it's like a silvery dust of Vrindavan. And then she brings them into the palace, and then they sit down on this huge golden lion throne. And Mother Yashoda puts these royal robes on them and wipes their face with the end of her sari. So anyway, it's all described really nicely, what happens. And then she offers them chapatis with sugar and cream. And then they do aarti. The devotees come in and they do aarti to Krishna Balaram there and then. And then And then the servant boys, because they have young boys who are serving Krishna Balaram, they take them away and then they bathe them. Then they dress them. Krishna gets dressed in yellow dhoti and Balaram in a blue dhoti. And then Balaram goes and drinks his varuni while Krishna eats prasadam. So you can see there's a kind of a similarity, what's going on there, to what we do here, especially according to the rules of Vaidik Bhakti and the Panchatrikvidhi system, deity worship. There's a lot of similar. In one sense, it's no different. The pure devotees doesn't see any difference there. Right? So in other words, what we're doing here is also a festival every day. Right? But we should see it like that. And it is only to get our mind absorbed and spontaneously flow to Krishna, because that's what we're going to be doing in the spiritual world. And if you can't hack it here, then you won't be able to hack it in the spiritual world. Right? So this is the whole point. We're not like the Sahajiyas. Prabhupada warned us against the Sahajiyas mentality. This cheap mentality of, just absorbing yourself in the highest pastimes of the Lord, but not doing anything, we have to absorb ourselves, we have to absorb our mind, our body and our senses in serving Krishna, engaging in devotional service, preaching Krishna consciousness. And this way our mind becomes peaceful. And then we become qualified. And then our devotional service will automatically become spontaneous at one point. But we still have to make an effort. It's not something that's automatic. We have to develop the qualities. Yasasthi bhakti bhagavati kinchina sarve gunastatra samasite suraha. Aro bhaktasya kuto mahakudamanaratana siti tavato bahi. So, a devotee, he has all the good qualities of the demigods. But a non-devotee, he has no good qualities because he's on a mental platform. So these qualities of demigods come to the point of ruchi. When we get to ruchi, when we develop some real taste, then the devotee develops these qualities. Like that. So Lord Chaitanya, he's also coming and he's performing Sankirtan in the mood of Vipralamba, separation. You see, he never says, I have got, it's always where, when am I going to get Krishna? When I look at the beautiful form of Krishna, when is my, when are the goosebumps going to come up on my skin? When I chant the holy name, when is my throat going to choke up and tears flow from my eyes? When? So this is the mood. Whereas the Sahajiyas, it's the opposite. It's, I have already got. I am so great. I've got. So this keeps us in a humble mood as well. So it doesn't matter how advanced the devotee is, he never thinks, I am so advanced now that I'm beyond the rules and regulations of Vaidik Bhakti, or I don't need to follow Varnashram. We don't want to talk about that again. You get it? But the point is, a devotee, he never thinks himself above. Even though Lord Chaitanya is here asking Ramananda Roy to go higher and higher and higher. So the next verses, Ramananda Roy is going to be talking about the different relationships Krishna has with his devotees. And they say it's order of importance, but it's only connected to rasa. Like Krishna, Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu mentioned recently when he gave class. It's all to do with rasa, that's all. Krishna embracing a cow or Krishna embracing a gopi, to the recipient, there's no difference. It's completely perfect. Right? Or Krishna trampling on a blade of grass. It's all perfect. The only difference is in the level of rasa, that's all. So from now on, Ramananda Roy is going to be speaking about the different rasa, different relationships that devotees have. And obviously the topmost relationship is Madhurya Rasa. But everything is perfect when you relate it to Krishna. So we can have a perfect relationship with Krishna now, if we wanted. But we just need to be greedy enough to want. We should. So, to sum up, if you want that lolium, we have to really pray to Krishna to send us advanced association as advanced devotees in our life. And by their association, we can also develop that greed, that lolium, to want to go back, come back to Godhead in this lifetime. Because that should be the goal, really. Okay. I'm going to stop here. It's 22. Should we have a discussion? Any questions or comments?
In one lecture by Gogovinda Maharaj called Greed of the Lord, he actually describes the greed starts with the Lord. That as Lord Narasimhadev, he appeared from a pillar. And when he was offered with so much love and devotion from Prahlad Maharaj, he was thinking, I appeared from a pillar, so I have no parents. So it was greedy. So the greed started from there. And then in the appearance, and then he appeared as Lord Ramachandra. And then, because the mood was all in reverence, that greed, he was not satisfied with that. So he got more greedy. And then he appeared as Lord, then appeared as Krishna. Then that greed was almost satisfied. But it wasn't quite. That when he appeared as Lord Caitanya, then that greed was fulfilled. Yeah. So the greed actually starts with Krishna himself. And Lord Caitanya came to give the example of that greed. So we have to follow in the footsteps of Lord Caitanya.
Yeah. Get it from the devotees. Pure devotee.
There was discussed in class about rasa, but also you were talking about the rasa of the devotees of Lord Caitanya. They had like a rasa with each other. Their particular characteristics and relationships. And they were also different. Yeah. And is it Jagannath? I can't remember, but anyway, he had this rasa with Lord Caitanya of being cross with him and not accepting his gifts and this sort of thing. And
it was Jagannanda.
Sorry?
Jagannanda Pandit.
Yeah, I think that's it. But also, all the devotees here have a particular rasa with each other. And if we can see it in that way and not look at it in as a positive or a negative, but see it's the nature, everybody's got a personal nature, and actually it can be treated as it's a good thing that our relationships are have a sort of particular rasa with a certain devotee, like this and like this. We may not get along, but it's still there. Actually, we get along because of service. that's the highest thing. And so we help each other then and tolerate all these things that are to do with the modes of material nature within us, and think that, no, this person, he's like this because Krishna's made him, he's looking after him, and we shouldn't be concerned about our differences too much, not make them a big deal, because actually it's a wonderful thing as well, as you can see with Lord Chaitanya and his devotees, that you know, it appeared they were quarreling, but they weren't. They were just had this relationship because they were still affectionate to each other. They still had that basis of affection and acceptance of each other. And I don't know if that's the point. Was trying to explain, but this rasa.
Well, yeah. I mean, our relationship with Krishna.
With each, yeah. We should have
it starts with our relationship
with
Guru and the Vaishnavas.
Yeah.
If we don't have a good relationship with the Vaishnavas here and our spiritual master, then it's not going to work with Krishna. Yeah, of course. Govinda?
There you go. Thank you. Thank you for explaining the different types of Sukriti. Nice explanation. And it's from a purport, right, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Chaitanya Charitamrita 2245, Madhya Leela.
Thank you. So here's a question that puzzling me. Is there, within the spiritual Sukriti, is there two types as well? The reason I'm asking is, on the one hand, we understand that we can't actually get sort of the mood of the residents of Vrindavan unless we do the type of bhakti under their guidance. So if people are worshipping with awe and reverence, it's still bhakti. Is that type of Sukriti another type of Sukriti that doesn't give the spontaneous type, or does it naturally lead to? I don't know. I just don't know how to categorize that type of Sukriti. Can you do millions of lives of worship of Lakshmi Narayan? Is that what the verse is saying? Millions of you know, worship Sukriti from Lakshmi Narayan still doesn't get you Vrindavan, or is it saying something else?
And as far as I know, that verse is describing Karma Bhogan Sukriti. It's not Lakshmi Narayan, that's devotional service that comes under. So that's Bhakti Amukhi Sukriti when it's connected to Lakshmi Narayan.
So it should automatically lead to Vrindavan, or?
Well, if you don't know the answer, I'm not going to know it.
Thank you.
Yeah. But Lakshmi Narayan, it's devotional service. Even if you go to Vaikuntha, for that devotee, it's perfect. They're not thinking, oh, there's something higher. They're thinking, this is perfect. There's nothing beyond this, even though there is something higher in connection, in relation to rasa, that's all. That's my understanding. Unless anyone else wants. Who's the best devotee?
Yeah.
Ravana? Kamsa? We don't want to be those kind of devotees. That's unfavorable. Sorry?
After the death of Ravana and Kamsa,
yeah,
they've been to Vaikunth Lok. Not other devotees are able to go there.
Didn't Kamsa get impersonal liberation? No? Huh? He did, didn't he? So what's your question?
My question is, Ravana and Kamsa were the best devotee or not?
Are they the best devotees
or not? No, because their devotional service is unfavorable.
But they've been to Vaikunth after the death.
Only Abhilashita Sunyam. Our devotional service has to be favorable.
Pardon?
Our devotional service has to be favorable. not unfavorable. So we don't really follow in a line of Kamsa and Ravana. Doesn't matter their destination. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Prabhuji, you answered it nicely. Just to clarify one thing, they were originally from Vaikuntha, but in the Krishna book it mentions that when they got killed, first as Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, and then as, you know, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, then, you know, the Kamsa, Dantavakra, right? Each time they went back into Sayujya Mukti. So even amongst Mukti, there are different types of liberations. But the Sayujya Mukti is where, you know, you merge, you have the same form as the, not Sarupa, sorry, Sayujya is where you into the body of the Lord. But actually higher than that is bhakti, this devotional service. So that actually they both came back as Jaga and Madai, where they don't act as enemies of the Lord, where they just get merged, but they actually become devotees. So that's the highest. So as Kamsan, as Prabhuji said, as Kamsan, Ravana, that's not the highest form of devotion. When they became Jaga and Madai, then they were bhaktas. Then it's like highest, because you're favorably so.
Gyantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki Chaitanya Charitamrita ki Jai.